me.
So I'm going to hand over to Malcolm and Nev now.
Good evening, everybody. Evening, Nev. You all right?
Yeah.
Relaxed? Feeling a bit like a goldfish?
In a big...
Would you like a cup of tea, by the way?
Yes, please. Yeah. It's good. I don't take sugar.
One or two other people out there were looking for a cup of tea, but there's only one teapot in the house tonight. So there you go. There we go. This is what happens when you give your testimony. At St. Mary's, treated like royalty. But I'm really excited about this weekend. And I'd say milk.
Please, yes.
I haven't actually brought sugar.
No, just as well. I don't take it.
Oh, there's not enough there. Hang on. Oh. Oh, wow. Chocolate. Thank you, Sally. You can come up here next time. Wonderful. Well, this is what we love to do. Oh, that's a lovely cup of tea, actually. What we want to do here is just over this weekend, I just really felt God say when we were planning this weekend that he wanted us to listen to each other and to hear the heart that is in one another. Because there's an amazing heart in every one of us, but there's going to be 16 people sharing over this weekend. There's also going to be Bible teaching as well, but we're going to be listening. And I want to encourage, Nev, you're going first, well done. But I really want to encourage, as we go through the weekend, can I really encourage all of us to really listen with our hearts, to really hear what people have to share, because the things people have to share are really quite powerful and deep and personal to them. And it may also be sometimes for some of us, some things might come up through what people share, perhaps even through what Nev might share tonight. Some big issues can come up in for us too. And if that's the case for you, we really want to be there and listen and pray and support and just be there for you. So if something brings something up for you tonight, please talk to one of us, talk to one of the clergy or one of the prayer ministry team or someone that you trust would just be able to listen to you as well, because we want this to be a safe place for people just to feel they can be heard. So Nev, it's a real joy to have you up here. Nev, you're going to share some of your testimony. So how did you come to know Jesus? How did it all start for you?
Yeah, it all started because my parents are Christians. Mm-hmm. I've got two brothers. I'm the middle one. And they brought us up to believe in Jesus. We went to church on a Sunday. There was a really fantastic kids work at the church where we were, and we really enjoyed going. And they did a summer camp every summer, and went to the Isle of Wight. And I remember one summer, I think I was 9, maybe 7. I'm not sure the exact age, but being led in a prayer one evening. You know, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, repeat after me, and I said that prayer.
Brilliant.
And that's the first time I can remember making a brilliant conscious step.
And you said something about when you were a teenager as well, that you really encountered the Holy Spirit for the first time as a teenager.
Yeah.
Or in a new way, I should say. Obviously, the Holy Spirit was at work.
My parents were quite charismatic. I didn't really know what that meant, initially. And I remember talking to my parents about speaking in tongues, and I'm like, what is that? When I was about 13 or 14, and I said, what does that sound like then? And suddenly my mum went, and I was like, well, okay, all right, that's different. But I remember, asking the Lord to fill me with his Holy Spirit, and I didn't feel anything specific then, but there was a dramatic change in my life, and especially with music, and music really began to flow, and began to really spend lots of time at the piano, playing and starting to write songs and things like that. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely a release took place then.
And then you went to Canada for a while. What happened there?
That was fast forwarding quite a few years. So after university, I worked part time for the church in London I was at, and was a piano teacher. The opportunity came to go to Canada to work as a music minister at a church there in Victoria, British Columbia, about the most British part of Canada you can go to. And so I embarked on a new chapter, which, I thought all my dreams had come true, and this was an amazing opportunity. Everything I'd ever wanted was sort of packaged up in this.
But then, and then you kind of felt like tough times. You've also had some tough times.
Yeah,
as
it
well.
Was. The Canada experience, funnily enough, didn't go according to how, according to plan. That's and I was there for 8 months, and you know, to cut a long story short, things got really difficult there, and I ended up coming back really suddenly, and really feeling in my heart, so I kind of disobeyed God, and the Lord had told me to stay, and I felt like I'd gone, and I felt like I was Jonah running away, except I came back to the UK, and there was no real way back. So yeah, that was a real bit of a hammer blow coming down for me. And you know, out of the back of that, I had all of this, instead of coming back to the UK and everything sort of getting better for me, it led to a real breakdown of some sort, and you know, me just feeling like I'd lost God, and you know, it's some really some really strange times, feeling like everything, and just feeling like I'd lost my salvation, lost him, lost my salvation, and it brought a lot of fear, a lot of fear. I just thought I'm going to hell when I die, and I couldn't see any, I couldn't see past it. Try as I might, and try as my friends might say, you know, that's wrong. You know, I just couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't get past it, and then just began to really sort of slip away, and felt like I couldn't access God, and just became very worldly for the next 4 years or so, just sort of tried to, as Lydia was sharing, you know, medicate your pain, you know, with drink or whatever, anything to distract, and there was so much, you know, I used to sleep with the light on, just I have to read until I go to sleep, and you know, I couldn't even hardly look in the mirror sometimes. It was, you know, it was really it was a tough 4 years, that is,
that's very vulnerable for you to talk about that. It's very honest. Thank you for being honest, because it's sometimes hard in church or in Christian circles to be honest about when life doesn't go well. We were filled with the Spirit, and then perhaps, as you say, you went to a dark place. So what happened? How did you how did it happen that, you know, you're here tonight? You're leading worship in the church. What happened to help you in that place?
There's a couple of experiences I had, and I hardly played the piano for those 4 years, because although I was teaching music, I didn't really play for pleasure, because it just sort of reminded me of, you know, I felt like I was made for God, and my music was made for him, and it was like a stinging reminder. So, but I had the guitar, and I one day I just went back to my room, and I just started to sing these words to the guitar: "Rise again, rise again." And just out of my mouth came, "The Lord is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in mercy." And I just started to cry for the first time in 4 years. I just broke down, and I was so surprised that there'd been this sort of breaking. And a card had come through the door about a couple of weeks before that, said, "What are you doing next Sunday?" And it was for a church called Woodford Christian Life Church, which is now called the Bridge Church in Woodford. And I'd kept the card, and I thought, well, next Sunday I'll probably just be recovering from Saturday, is probably what I'll be doing. But I kept the card, and I thought, well, should I go along? And reading the Bible for those 4 years had been a very difficult experience. And, you know, I'd try sometimes to read the Bible, but it was really hard. But I thought, well, let me go along to this church. And so I went in, and went up for some prayer, and had some prayer. But did, you know, basically I started to attend that church. Didn't really feel any different. And in fact, you know, sometimes it was really difficult to go. And you know, there was so much sort of torment going on in the background. But after about 4 months, things were getting pretty bad, and I actually said to the pastor, I said, well, you know, maybe could I come and see you, Arthur, and you know, get some prayer and ministry and stuff, but which we've made the date for. But then there was a powerful presence of God on the Sunday morning at the church, basically the Monday morning, it was half term, and I didn't, because I'm a music teacher, by the way, I didn't have to, I wasn't in school or college, and I woke up, and the first thing as I opened my eyes was there were these words, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, came into my head, and I was like, wow, I don't normally ever wake up with scripture verses these days in my head, and I said, let me find my Bible, because I'd all my Christian books I just put, locked away at my parents' place, but I'd kept a Bible. And for the first time in those 4 years, instead of feeling condemned reading it, I just started to feel a bit of life emerging. And basically through that week, it was as if all the muck that I felt so coated in through those last 4 years just started to lift away, and a new freedom came. And there was a real restoration. So by the time I did get to see the pastor, I was a new man by then. And God had really started, kick-started something again in my life, which was amazing. You know, I never thought that I would ever, you know, just experience freedom again. And I was just so, those were just days of just incredible, feeling overwhelmed by... I just couldn't believe it was true, you know, that, and how good God was and how amazing grace was, because it was nothing I deserved. But just God had burst in again in such an amazing way.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was really powerful.
So what you're kind of describing is quite a long process, really, isn't it? I know that there was that moment at the end, but there's quite... That's a long time, and it's sometimes takes a long time, doesn't it, for us to... God's got us on a journey.
Yeah, that was back in about 2003, 2004.
Yeah, What would you, I mean, if, what would you say that you feel like you might have learned about God or about yourself or in some ways just that you've take from that time of that journey that you've been on, what would you say?
I think... You know, I think some of the things I've learned is that you can never predict when God is going to do anything. And just to be, just to keep leaning on Him no matter what, because even after that, I thought that was going to be a done deal then, you know, that at that point back in 2003, all my troubles were over. And I was starting to write songs again, and it was wonderful, and but little did I know that, you know, sometime later I would then suffer another, you know, like another breakdown, or just beset with anxiety and sensing that, you know, where God, was it real? Am I really saved? And that's come at, you know, a number of different times. And so I think one thing that I've learned is that, you know, the value of good friends, the value of people praying for you, and that it's, you know, to try to stay connected and try to reach out as best you can, and to at least have somebody you can be honest with, I think it's been a lifeline. And even lately, this, you know, 2018... had a fantastic January through to June, and then July, just again got a bit blindsided and had a really tough summer, and just sort of coming out of that. But, you know, I think taking those lessons, that, you know, found some good friends here at St Mary's, and just being able to keep it real with a certain number of people has been
brilliant.
Has been really good.
Good. That's really kind of you to share that with us and to be so honest and open with us. And I just want to, you know, it's brilliant for me to be up here with you. And I know everybody, I think, would want to say we really love you. And we think very highly of you and really appreciate what you've shared with us, because isn't it a process that we're on? It's a journey. Sometimes we go forward, sometimes we go back. But actually, God always has us in His hand. And I'm sure a lot of people can identify with what you're saying. It's really good. And we talked, it's easy to talk about honesty, but actually, you know, you're really You're really showing us what it's like. And bless you. Thank you so much. Thank Can we give so Nev a real... Bless you, Nev. Well, bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you. Yeah. Bless you. Thank you. Well done. Okay.
Thank you. And we're going to have someone else come and share. Ruth's going to come and share with us about a passion that she has for art. Ruth, I would make you a cup of tea, but Malcolm used all the cups. You can sit at the table, yes. Are you all right? Okay. Do you want to share with us about your passion?
I will. Hello, I'm Ruth. I don't know if I describe it sharing my passion. I was asked to talk about being a Christian artist, so I thought I'd just share my story and what that's all about, really, what that means. So I describe myself as a Christian who makes art, a Christian who makes artwork, a Christian for whom the visual arts specifically have been really important to me since I was very young, actually. I'm doing this to them and not to you, is that that's all right? So what do I do now? At the moment, I make art, I exhibit art, and I'm an art teacher as well. A lot of my energy goes into teaching art. And I'm having a really good time with it at the moment. It's a really positive, good thing in my life. But it's been part of a journey, as everything is. So I thought I'd share with you a bit about that. So making art was important to me from a really little girl. I can remember, I was one of those little girls, you know, I'd be sitting with my colouring pens and my pencils and drawing, and I can remember doing that when I was very, very young. I didn't come from a particularly artistic household, but thinking back on it, my family were quite creative, but not particularly artistic as such. Although they have artistic abilities, but I wasn't, you know, it wasn't an arty house. When I was about 14, my parents, my very encouraging parents, took me once to the Tate Gallery, and I just remember being wowed. And I remember one painting. I stood in front of one painting by a painter, still one of my favourite painters, and it was like a real wow moment, and it was magic. And I thought, I want to do that. I want to be able to do that. I went to secondary school, and it was quite an academic, selective secondary school. And I wasn't particularly encouraged to do art. In fact, I was dissuaded, I would say. But in the sixth form, I had a new teacher who said, you're really good, and you could go to art school. She's still the head of art at that school, so good for her. So I followed her advice, and I did go to art school in London. That was quite challenging. And at about that time, I'd just become a Christian as well. So going to a London art school being a Christian was quite a challenge because if anyone's ever been, anything goes in art school except Jesus, actually, funny enough. So that was interesting. I really wrestled at the time, actually, what is the point of doing art? You know, I should be out doing evangelism, I should be being a missionary. What is the point of me being in this privileged place, exploring what is a wonderful subject and activity, but what does God really think about it? Is it of any value? That was a real struggle for me. I decided to train as a teacher, so I did a teaching qualification, and I've taught in schools and in different settings over the years. And what the wonderful thing about going to teach in schools was that I realised, coming from a very elitist place where, you know, we're the special artists, special people, you get to secondary school, just your regular comprehensive in Essex, and there's so many people, so many children who are really talented in the visual arts. It's a really widespread gift that lots of people have. They may not have the opportunity to develop it or use it, or nobody might tell them it's of value, that so many people are gifted in creative ways in the visual arts. That was a real eye-opener, and it was really humbling as well. So that was great. And I taught for a few years. I got married, actually, while I was a student, before I was teaching as well, to David, who's here. And I really wanted to be a mum. And when I was about 26, I think, I ceremoniously packed up my studio, which was our second bedroom, and put a baby in it. And threw myself into being a mum. And actually, in my mind, I sort of packed away my artwork as well. Had two children quite close together. They are both actually really artistic and very good at art. And we used to love, or I used to love with them painting and played. And I really valued what they did. Our house was plastered with their artwork. They had to do one scribble at me up on the wall. But mine was not really anywhere to be seen. I'd packed it all away. Had a few sketchbooks on holiday, maybe, but really didn't do much at all. And then went on to have a third child. I was a stay-at-home mum. I got involved with education as a school governor. I was busy, 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 but my art didn't really have a feature in my life. And then about 10 years ago, I was sort of feeling quite stirred up about it. And I was in a life group in the church I was in previously, to St. Mary's. And I said to the people, I was really thinking maybe I should do some art again. So it's a group of women, and they prayed for me. And one of the women, she had a picture. She said, I see a picture of a very small red Caran d'Ache pencil, and it's still got a lot of life left in it. Now, at home, I have my very old set of Caran d'Ache. That's a brand of colouring pencils. And I still had the little red one. And I went home that day, and I made a drawing with that little red pencil. And I felt like it was God giving it back to me, what I'd put down, because I'd been valuing the talents and skills in my children, but I'd put those particular ones to one side. So that was 10 years ago. And since then, I've not run out of any ideas, and I've been having a great time making art as well. So that's sort of a word to parents, really, about valuing our own skills and creativity. It can be tempting to put them away, put them to one side. There's loads more I could say, but I just thought I'd talk a bit about the challenges and the blessings of being involved in the visual arts. So I think some of the challenges are it's a very egotistical world, isn't it, the art world? It's a very materialistic world. So to seek to make art, to make things in a way that honour God, in a godly way, is quite a challenge. I'm in progress doing that, if you like. It's also, it's very pseudo-religion, really, the visual arts. Artists are put on pedestals. We put our art in this country in buildings with pillars like temples. It's all a bit weird out there, and it's a challenge to me. What does it mean to be an artist as a Christian? And also knowing that that is not my identity. My identity is not being an artist. My identity is being a child of God, and as I say, a child of God who makes art. I think also in the world, i.e. places where Jesus isn't honoured, a lot of the art we see is quite dark and celebrates a lot of darkness. And so I would seek to bring some life into that. And I used to think that being a Christian artist, I maybe had to illustrate Bible stories or be like really overtly evangelistic, which I did try to do for a bit and did it quite badly, I think. So now I see that what I try to do and what I feel I should do is sort of art of celebration. We're just celebrating life, and that's what the things I make are about. And what are the blessings of having art as part of my life? I say there's always something to do. There's so many possibilities of different ways to work, different ideas. I think one of the fears in being involved with art, and probably the same if you're a musician or any creative activities, that you're going to run out of ideas. In fact, this year, I'm privileged to have a studio been built for me, thanks to the support of my husband. That's the first time since my studio was packed away ceremoniously 24 years ago to put my baby in. And I was like, oh, we're going to spend all that money and I might get in there. I've got no ideas. What am I going to do? But actually, now I'm in it, it's been absolutely wonderful. Thinking of artwork and being inspired by the world around me just makes me see the world in a different way. Can be quite overwhelming sometimes. An example would be, this week I made a picture that was, it was sort of inspired by walking. I've got a dog and I walk a lot through woodland and forest. I made this image which I really liked, and it was sort of full of pattern and colour, and I thought it was a really joyful picture. And so I showed it to Dave and said, what do you think, Dave? And he said, it looks a bit jungly, looks a bit overwhelming, you know. And I said, well, that's what it's like when you go for a walk, isn't it? He said, no, it's really relaxing. Like, well, I go for a walk and I see all these colours and patterns and shapes. And I love being able to see the world like that. Also, one of the blessings has been, it's been such a wonderful way to connect with people. The timing of things in the last few years, those of you who live locally might be aware, we've had an art trail, we've now got a community art gallery, we've got an art centre at the Methodist Church down the road. The arts have sort of blossomed in Loughton in the last 10 years, and I've been really privileged to be involved with that as well, and that's really blessed me. And I get to 4 days a week teach and spend time with lovely adults now, not children, I'm teaching adults at the moment, some of whom are in the room, and share with them and talk with them and teach them and just engage with the visual arts, and it's on the whole really fun and a lovely way of getting to know people and connecting with people. So that's all I've got to say, really. But it's, yeah, a work in process. I haven't got it all right. There's lots of questions about still what's worth doing. We use a lot of resources when we make art. I'm pouring plastics down the sink if I paint in acrylics. You know, there's all sorts of things and all sorts of questions about it. I did want to say, if this sort of connected with anybody, if anyone's either involved in arts or thinking they'd like to be, and wanted me to pray with them this weekend, I'd be really happy to do that. Okay, is that all right?
Thanks, Ruth. Malcolm's going to come and share with us in a moment, but Philippe, where's Philippe? Is he around? There. Philippe's got a bookshop. You might have seen it as you came in through the doors. There's going to be a bookshop here the whole weekend. And Philippe's just going to plug a couple of books, but he seems to be in a big pile. I said one.
Okay. Actually, hi. How many of you remember this book? Yeah, was that good? Reading the New Testament in 40 days. If you haven't done that, the church did it as a group. You're welcome to buy some copies there. We don't have many. The book also, if you're a parent, exists for children. The New Testament for children, age 8 to 12. And many parents around the world actually are reading this with their children together. I've only got about 6 copies, so grab it. And the good news is the Old Testament also has been done. The books of the Bible, 3 books of the Old Testament translated, easy to read, and you can do the course as well. Okay? So come and see us afterwards. Thank you.
Brilliant. Yeah, go and check the bookshop out. There's lots of books down there. Malcolm, do you want to come up? I'll hand over to you now.
Hello. Why don't we just, for a couple of minutes, just turn to the people around us at our tables and maybe just share whatever is on your heart. There might be a reaction to something you've just heard that's encouraged you or made you think in some new way, or perhaps just something encouraging from this week or whatever. Just take a moment and encourage and just reflect with the people around you. Is that all right? And then I'll call you back in just a minute. Okay.